Theodore more than you do. They ain't going to give us away. And is their hate greater than their fear? Will they be silent if Theodore's riders chance this way? We are not safe this side of the silver smoke. The camels could carry us there in a day, but to steal away with them by night might bring a hue and cry down on us. So we took French leave of Adina in the small hours, slipping through the shadows with such stealth that I doubt if more than half the population heard us go. But they paid us no mind, presumably turning over and thanking God to be rid of a pair of unwelcome guests. There was a good moon, and with Ulaba sure-footed as ever, it was a pleasant promenade through the shadowy groves until the light went and the chilly mist came in off the water. Then we built a fire, had a welcome snack of the monastery's bread and ham, washed down with Tej, and rolled up together in one blanket, keeping warm in the jolliest way I know. Next morning, we rounded the bay, which is the southwestern limit of Tana, both in high spirits in the sunshine, swinging along like Phyllis and Corydon in Arcady, with not the least foreboding of the horror ahead. There were a few fishers abroad on the lake, staying afloat for a wonder, and we passed a couple of villages where the peasantry seemed to be taking no harm as they loafed about in their plots. We nooned in a secluded cove where a few waterfowl were disporting themselves out beyond the shallows, and Ulaba asked me if I fancied duck for tiffin. I said by all means, if she'd catch them, and she laughed and asked if she killed them, would I fetch them ashore? Kill away, says I, wondering, and she picked up a handful of pebbles in the beach, juggled them from hand to hand, and all of a sudden whipped them away like a fast bowler, sidearm, 1, 2, 3. And blessed if she didn't crack the heads of 2 ducks and lay a third squawking and thrashing in the water. She told me of the Gallus's skill with missiles, but I'd not have believed it if I hadn't seen it. I plunged in and retrieved the poultry, full of congratulation, but she made light of it, saying they had been real sitting birds, and next time she would bring one down on the wing. Again, I believed her. An odd thing, none of the other ducks had so much as stirred, and she told me that the birds and beasts of Lake Tana were so tame that they never minded hunters, not stirring even when the critter beside them was hit. It was such a glorious day that we swam in the lake, icy cold as it was, and I have a happy memory of Ulaba sitting on a smooth black rock like the little mermaid, naked, wet, and shining. We made good time in the afternoon, leaving the forest for a more broken and rocky shoreline, and I noticed that we saw fewer folk along the way, and at last none at all. That was the moment when I caught a drift in the air of that same flat, stale stench there had been at Gondar, and Ulaba stopped, head raised, and said, "Zaga." We had crossed a few streams running through the rocks into the lake, and now we came to another, a small river, really, with steep banks, and as we prepared to descend, the weather changed, with that speed so typical of Abyssinia, and a storm of hail came down like grapeshot, great lumps the size of schoolboys' marbles that drove us under cover and churned the river mouth and lake surface into foam. You could barely hear yourself speak about the rattle of the downpour, but Ulaba was laughing as she pointed to the stream and shouted, "Little Abai, only a few miles further now." I couldn't make this out. The stream was flowing into the lake, and I knew the Abai, which is the Blue Nile, should run out of Tana. And thereby hangs a tale, which I heard first from Ulaba as we crouched under the broad leaves of a baobab to shelter from the hailstorm, and again years later from the great boar of the Nile himself, Daft Dick Burton at the Travellers' Club. He had a most tremendous bee in his bonnet about it, with which I'll not weary you beyond saying that the Little Abai runs into Lake Tana west of the town of Zaga, and out again east of the town when it becomes the Great Abai, and eventually joins the White Nile, which rises way up yonder in Lake Victoria, or so I gathered from Burton, who was full of bile against the chaps who discovered it. God knows why. He'd have fought with his own shadow, that one. At all events, when the hail stopped, we crossed and came to the promontory of Zaga, the site of a once populous town, now ruined and deserted, thanks to Theodore, who had looted and burned it months before, hence that stale stink of charred wood and desolation. It was half hidden by trees at the base of the promontory, through which we passed to open ground, where there were signs of a disused campsite, and so came to a swampy tangle of roots on the verge of the lake. Out on the water, we could see a couple of fishing craft heading up in the direction of Adina, and Ulaba surveyed them, frowning for a long moment before